brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, my friends. I know we have loaded phones. We'll go to your calls. If you just are patient with us, you'll get a chance to talk to Dave and Joyce. Von Kleist and Joyce Riley, who've broken a major story. Of course, we're proud to have them here on this network for many years with us, with their show every morning from 7 to 10 p.m. Central, 7 to 10 a.m. Central, excuse me. I remember seeing some stories about this years ago, hearing some rumors that it was the globalists themselves that blew up the Kuwaiti oil fields as a pretext to keep oil prices high in 1991 at the end of the Gulf War. And now Dave and Joyce have some really powerful evidence towards that conclusion. And it ties in with the reports that I haven't gotten to yet, but that I will in this hour, confirming the U.S. government, not 5,000, not 6,000, but 8,000, perhaps more, Al-Qaeda and Taliban leaders flown out to safety with their intelligence controllers, Pakistan ISI, which is admitted CIA. This is another huge story. We've been covering this now for about a year and a half. Now it's back in the news with even more shocking revelations, and Bill Moyers covered this last Friday. But the news is putting an interesting spin on it, so that's coming up as well. Also, the government says brace for more massive terrorist attacks. We'll be getting into that. News on the economy, which is getting into a deep, deep recession. Job layoffs everywhere. Unemployment running out. This is the wonders of NAFTA and GATT. They promised us would make milk and honey flow in the streets, and it's a lie, and it's all by design. We have the World Bank documents. Reported on this with Greg Palast about a year ago. And by the way, Greg Palast is joining us from his studio in another radio station in Houston live tomorrow. So we'll be simulcasting there. And Greg Palast, a Newsnight reporter with BBC, who talked about the Rothschilds running the Enron scam on this show. So you talk about the New World Order in your face. It's not a conspiracy. It's a fact, ladies and gentlemen. We have a corrupt world government destroying all liberty. Captain Joyce Riley, again, of the Gulf War Vets Association, and Dave Von Kleist, host of the Power Hour. Great to have you on the show with us today with this big story.
Thank you, Alex. It's our pleasure.
A lot's happening, isn't it?
Well, it is. And I think that when you consider all of the issues that have fallen surrounding the Gulf War, it's kind of like with 9/11. Just the way you've been exposing 9/11, we've been looking seriously at what brought us the Gulf War and how many of those things were manufactured by advertising agencies and public relations agencies. And so after a list of those things, and I'll let Dave just give you a set the predicate here for how many things have fallen that we believe to be the real deal.
Yeah, hi, Alex. When you take a look at the track record of the federal government and the mainstream media, I'm just going to go real quickly through each one of these points. The Naira story, the incubator story that was touted by George Bush Sr., turned out to be a total fabrication brought to you by an advertising firm named Hill & Knowlton.
Well, the wife that gave the briefing before Congress, it turned out, was married to a Kuwaiti top official.
Well, she was the daughter of the ambassador to Kuwait. Her name was Naira. And she was, along with an alleged dentist, supposedly oversaw and saw this horrible situation, which obviously never turned out to be any story.
Joyce and Dave, let's just do this because we've got a break coming up. Let's start over so it's all clear for folks, because I got you up a little bit late and I apologize. And let's start from the top and let you guys have the floor when we get back, okay?
You got it.
Let's just do that. We've got Joyce Riley and Dave Von Kleist joining us, host here on this network. And I would add to this that Colin Powell's chemical biological plant in northern Iraq, a bakery, Colin Powell with his plagiarized top secret document, he claimed, written by a graduate student before the UN, Colin Powell knowing about the Algiers bin Laden tape 3 hours before they even got a copy of it. He said, oh, don't worry, it'll be there in a few minutes. This is all PR lies. We call it propaganda with Madison Avenue stylish flair. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, my friends. We're already back live, 8 minutes and 25 seconds into the third hour. I'm Alex Jones, your host. You can hear my show broadcast Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and then back from 9 to midnight Central Standard Time on a growing list of fine AM and FM affiliates. You can also listen at Infowars.com or Infowars.net or PrisonPlanet.com. And on global shortwave during the day from 11 to 2 at 12.172 and 9320, and then back from 9 to midnight Central at 5.085 and 6890. And we're joined by fellow talk show host right here on this network, Captain Joyce Riley and Dave Von Kleist with the Power Hour. Their website, thepowerhour.com. You can read the transcript of one of the soldiers they interviewed who was involved in the demolition of Kuwaiti oil fields. This is a big story now breaking nationally thanks to their investigative work and our listenership getting involved in providing the evidence. We just recapped the information. Just to recap it, we have Powell putting out fake stories of chemical and biological plants that turn out to be bakeries. We have them with fake dossiers plagiarized from graduate students years ago. We have them announcing Bin Laden tapes hours before they show up at Algiers. We have the fake incubator story back in 1990 on the eve of the Gulf War. We have Dave and Joyce, who just didn't come along the story today. They've been working on the Gulf War now, or experts on Gulf War II, for years. And I want to remind you that Dave and Joyce broke the story with doctors and scientists 6, 7, 8 years ago of the Gulf War illness, the chemical and biologicals that they were hit with, the brain stem death. And now that's even come out on CNN, the very video they got from troops they put in their video, the Gulf War illness, fact or fiction. Inside the bunkers with the U.S.-made chemical and biologicals, the sarin, the VX, that's now on CNN. So we've got folks here that are really bringing forward real news stories and have been attacked a lot for doing it, just like I've been attacked viciously. But in the end, we unfortunately always turn out to be correct because we do our homework. That's how we stay on the air year after year, bringing you real news. And that's why these shows, my show and their shows, aren't exploding nationwide. Dave, Joyce, continuing, give us a nutshell of what's happened and then launch into it. I know you've got the transcript here read by Dave to protect the voice print of one of your witnesses. Go ahead.
Okay, let me just simply say that we understand how serious this is. We understand the impact of this. If this is true, it would change the perspective of this war from the entire world. So we don't do this lightly. There's been a lot of prayer, a lot of discussion, a lot of agonizing over whether or not to come forward with this. This is the result of five people that have come forward that we have had conversations with who said that the oil well fires were not set by the Iraqis alone. Now, this is considerable information, and I think with some of the background information that I will give you later, this will be made clear. We by no means think Saddam is a good guy. We think he is absolutely should have been put out back in the first Gulf War.
And by the way, Joyce, it was a world war that got the whole world behind it to empower the UN. Since you broke this story on Coast to Coast Friday, there have been a lot of new key developments, and we'll go over those later as well. Go ahead.
I'm glad to hear that, because our purpose in this, when I came forward on Coast to Coast, I said, I want somebody to disprove what I'm saying, because I do not want to believe it's true, but I feel that morally, after five people telling us this story, it deserves more attention, more research than we could possibly give it. So that's the purpose of what we're doing here. Now, this gentleman that came forward was involved in the setting of the fires. Now, granted, he doesn't know the entire story. He knows his portion of the mission that he participated in. He was very frank with us. He was very open with us. But it was only after a lot of involvement. In other words, he didn't just come out and one day we met him and he said, by the way, I was involved in setting oil well fires. This took a long time for him to come forward and to explain this story
to us. Well, number one, it's very dangerous to do for his safety and your safety. Folks should be praying for you. Number two, this fits the compartmentalization of intelligence operations that he was only part of one portion of it.
That's right. And so it was not something that he wanted to tell us. It was something that I wanted to hear. And we've been telling the veterans, we've been telling, just like you've been telling people, it's time that we tell the truth. It's time that people whistleblow, that people explain what really has transpired with whether it's 9/11 or Waco or whatever. So here is the transcript. Now, again, this is the fifth person that came to us telling us that something had happened during the time of the oil well fires. Here's the interview that I did with, and Dave is going to be reading his part. What branch of service were you in?
For different reasons, I'd rather not state that.
Fair enough. There are a lot of people afraid of retaliation from the Gulf War. Do you understand why they feel that way?
Yes, I do. I learned to do what I did in the service, to live in a different world that most people have been led to believe exists only in their worst nightmares.
Now, you were involved in an operation in Kuwait that really no one has heard of until this point in time. We've had five or four other reports of people similar to yourself that have brought this to our attention. You were chosen for a mission, and why do you think you were chosen for this mission?
We're all a product of our environment. As a young man, I watched different movies and television shows, and I remember thinking how incredibly cool Rambo was, things of that nature. And there were so many media in the form of music and commercials, movies, that primed me to accept the idea that to win was everything.
And so the military sort of capitalizes on that feeling.
Oh, very much so. They find a lot of times before they even get you into boot camp where they can use your personality and your morals, and they capitalize on these things. And they steer you as it were into training avenues where you'll be the most beneficial to them.
Let's go to the time of the mission in Kuwait. Where were you when you learned about this mission?
We had just gotten back into camp the day before on a different mission, and we were actually in our quarters resting when we were told to muster out into the briefing tent, at which point a gentleman who I had first assumed to be an American, but I was concerned because he was wearing a UN uniform insignias, and he began to brief us on the operation. He pointed out the strategic points, and we were briefed as a group. There were probably 30 or 40 in the group. And then we were asked to leave, and our individual commanders were given the objectives for their group, at which point our individual commanders briefed us on our individual objectives. And then we went and we drew our gear, and we were transported via armored personnel carrier to close to the front, at which point we set out on foot. I acted alone.
Why were you told you were going to be doing this mission? What were you told of the purpose?
There was concern that America, the American public, might see this conflict as an unnecessary thing. And we were asked to do this, or we were ordered to do this, in order to remove to sway any public opinion, American public opinion, to remove any doubts whatsoever that Saddam Hussein and his regime were a terrible evil that had to be dealt with.
And what branches of the service were represented in this briefing tent?
I recognized faces from the Navy SEALs, Marine Force Recon, and Delta Force.
Okay, now you're on your way to the mission. You've been taken by armored personnel carrier that dropped you off to your area. What do you do then?
Well, then we move through gaps in our lines to where we're actually forward of the front, as the popular expression says, behind enemy lines. We traveled up, I was acting alone. My mission objective was assigned to me personally. I did not have an operative with me. I moved forward, and I carried out my mission parameters, and then I moved, and then I withdrew and concealed myself until such a time as the front moved past me.
Okay, let me back up a second. You carried out your mission. Let's talk about that mission.
Yes.
What was your mission? What were you told that you were supposed to do?
To damage, I was given, number deleted, Kuwaiti oil wells to damage and to start a fire.
And how did you do this?
With the use of explosives and incendiaries.
How did you utilize these explosives? What were these explosives?
The explosive I used was C4. It's lightweight, it's easy to use, it's very safe to transport. You take it, and a wellhead is nothing more than a pipe sticking out of the ground with valves. It's not like a water well where you have a top that you can take off. It's completely sealed due to the environmental concerns involved with crude oil. Depending upon the side of the well, the valve is anywhere from 3 to 6 feet off the ground. I placed the explosive on the wellhead and the incendiaries nearby so that after the fire, after the wellhead was damaged, the incendiary could light the crude oil to fire.
Did you light it yourself?
No, I actually transmitted a signal via a transmitter to a central location.
Which basically told them that the well had been set.
The well had been set, and they could detonate it at their leisure.
What did you do then?
Then I removed myself from the area. I egressed from the area and concealed myself until our units had advanced forward of me.
I don't understand. Help me understand what you mean by that.
The whole idea behind the operation was to make it look as if the Republican Guard, while they were retreating, had set the oil wells afire in a panic to keep us from getting them and to villainize them. This mission would not have been achieved if our forces saw those involved were not Republican Guard.
In other words, you were in fear of your own men seeing you, basically.
That is correct.
Did you see anybody else in the oil well field at the time that you were there?
No, I did not.
So you then egressed from the area, made sure that your own men did not see you, and then the oil well fires were started?
Yes.
Did you see them start?
I actually, due to where I was concealed, I could not see them. But due to the nature of the operation, you could feel the explosions and you could hear the fire.
So the story that we're told, that the Republican Guard in their retreating, that they started them very hastily, is not accurate.
That's correct.
Did you see any Republican Guard?
In the entire deleted months that I spent in the theater of operations, I did not see one individual that wore a Republican Guard uniform.
Folks, we got a break right here. We've got Captain Joyce Riley and Dave Von Kleist. They'll finish up the end of the transcript that they're reading. Protect the individual's identity. On the other side, we'll get into more analysis, then we'll take calls. I want to also remind folks on the last day of operations that barracks blew up, killing over 100 people. A lot of folks pointed out that they needed to have more casualties there at the end so folks would be behind the war.
Have you ever...
Thanks for...
Political Talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, we're talking to Captain Joyce Riley and Dave Von Kleist, the Power Hour, right here on this network, breaking a major national story last Friday that they brought me into confidence on about, I guess, over 3 weeks ago, actually. And they've talked to five people, and since then they've gotten calls on a host of issues surrounding this. We'll get into some of the latest developments that Joyce told me about on the phone yesterday later. And I know we have loaded phones with a lot of callers as well. Dave, Joyce, any comments before you continue with the conclusion of the transcript that you're reading?
No, I think why don't we just finish this and get through this, and then we can take any questions regarding
sure.
this. Okay. The question had been asked, did you see any Republican Guard?
I saw no Republican Guard uniforms.
Did you see any Iraqi troops that wore uniforms?
I saw quite a few Iraqi troops that wore uniforms.
But no Republican Guard?
I saw no Republican Guard uniforms.
After this period of time, when you started the oil well fires, did you have any concerns that you had started these fires, or did you think that it was the best thing for this country?
At the time, like I say, due to the nature of my mindset, it did not bother me.
That was your job, your mission, and you carried it out.
That is correct.
Well, I appreciate you very much your being frank with us and open about this, because there are many people that are now coming forward and saying the same thing. That there were no Republican Guard anywhere around, that it was the American troops that actually started the oil well fires. And I want to thank you very much. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing?
I believe it's a shame that our government is getting ready to repeat mistakes, I believe. I went over to fight what I thought was a common enemy of the world, and I watched my friends bleed and die for this cause, only for us to be stopped short of our objective, our final objective. I have no reason to believe that it'll be any different this time. And I understand the necessity for the loss of life to protect our country. But loss and waste are two very different things.
Why are you coming forward right now in saying this?
I feel that for us to return over there with this current administration's mindset, that history would only repeat itself.
Thank you very much, and I do salute you for what you're doing. Now, that is the end of the transcript between myself and this troop who was willing to come forward. He is very concerned about anybody that does come forward, that there will be retaliation. And that is a problem. When you serve your country and you're involved in these elite forces, it's not popular for you to come forward and talk about what you've done.
Well, Joyce, I would suggest he'll only be safe by going totally public like Jennifer Flowers and others. I would think that now this offers some protection by releasing this. because you know their names and information, but I would say without going all the way with it, it endangers you and Dave and everybody.
Well, that's not my position. I mean, I cannot decide for him, and we've tried to encourage him just along that line that you were talking about, but that is his choice. And
is he listening right now?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because he certainly listens to your show.
We don't know that either.
We don't know that. Let me just say that this story, as big as it is, has some more background. This is not just the only part of this story. In fact, we have found out since that time that in The Fire This Time, a book by Ramsey Clark, who wrote regarding the U.S. war crimes in the Gulf, I was shocked to find out that there were two federal studies released in January of 1991 showing that the government had been evaluating the war's environmental impact for some time. These fires were not started until February of 1991. And their reports, listen to this, Sandia Labs conducted the first study involving Livermore and Los Alamos National Laboratories for the Department of Energy. The report was titled Potential Impacts of Iraqi Use of Oil as a Defensive Weapon. So they set the stage that Iraq was going to do this early on. And they say that based on information, this comes out of the report, that we have received, a 20 million barrel crude oil spill to the Persian Gulf is possible near Kuwait's coast. 10 million barrels could be released in the first 24 hours, followed by another 10 million in the next 36 hours. So they talk in terms of this happening.
Always prime it, Joyce. They say, oh, the World Trade Center is going to get hit again, and then it does happen. And we look at Operation Northwoods. It calls for sabotage to be blamed on foreign enemies as a pretext and to legitimize war.
That's an excellent point. Also, it says there is another study that was released called The Environmental Impact of the Damage to Kuwait Oil Facilities. That was also released on January 11, 1991, by Pacific Sierra Research for the National Defense Nuclear Agency. And it stated that this would be a massive and unprecedented pollution event. Now, note it says this would be a massive and unprecedented pollution event. It would impact the ecology of the Persian Gulf and fallout on a wide swath across Iran, Pakistan, and northern India. Now, the Bush administration understood the potential harm of the war. There was an Associated Press statement revealed.
I'll tell you what, Joyce, we got a break. We'll come back with that Associated Press statement revealed. We'll also get into all the other points here. You had told me that you had talked to someone who saw themselves on TV supposedly putting the fires out, and that it had been a totally different country and with stock footage. That's coming up. Your calls and a lot of other information. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us. Alex Jones here back live with Dave Von Kleist and Captain Joyce Riley, breaking a major news story Friday, and now there have been some new developments that they've learned about. I would just remind the listeners again that we have in our possession U.S. government plans to commit acts of terrorism, to kill American citizens, to kill U.S. troops, and then blame it on foreign enemies as a pretext for war or to legitimize a war that's already taking place. Sabotage is listed, sniper attacks, bombings, hijackings, attacks on ships, the list goes on, and we've seen it all played out time and time again. We saw the attack by Israel on the USS Liberty in 67, under U.S. government control, trying to sink the ship to blame it on Egypt. This is their favorite tactic, and this fits in quite nicely. Unfortunately, a lot of people also believe that right at the end of the war, they pointed out that only 50 people had died, and then suddenly this barracks blows up, supposedly from a scud, killing over 100 servicemen and women. And right at the end of the war, oh, see, the war's good. The war was legitimate. And that's the intel they're getting from this military man. One of the five they've interviewed was that this was to legitimize. And funny, that's the exact words in their Northwoods plan. Very dangerous story to be reporting because I believe it is true from the MO and the documents we have and other activities that we've proven. Dave and Joyce, any other key points you want to add before we go to these calls?
I just want to say that the Associated Press ran a story saying that the cleanup equipment had been in, had been ordered in November of 1990. Now think about this. The fires were in February of 1991. But listen to this statement. According to the Associated Press, T.B. O'Brien, who was president of OGE Drilling, which is one of the cleanup companies working in the Gulf, was in June 1991 saying that they were still waiting for heavy construction bulldozers, backhoes, and cranes, more than 300 trucks, and a host of specialized smaller tools that had been ordered in November of 1990. Although it was aware of the danger, Washington prevented negotiation of a peaceful settlement, commenced an aerial assault on Iraq, and failed to take preventive and control measures. Now, there's also information coming from some of the troops that there were aerial bombing runs that started the fires also, that there was a different mechanism. It wasn't just one group of people starting all those fires. So that's basically our statements regarding what happened. Now, the Spotlight in 1999 ran an article saying that the oil minister of Iraq had denied the oil well fires. I'm trying to get a statement from the embassy of Iraq right now on that. As of yet, I have not received one, but the Iraq government never admitted to starting those fires.
And we know they lied about the incubators. We know Powell, a few weeks ago, said that they had a chem bio lab in northern Iraq. BBC went in. It was a bakery. We know Powell brings forward fake secret documents written by graduate students years ago and says this is a brand new secret document from the British. We know he said, oh, Algiers is airing a bin Laden tape. They went, sir, they didn't say they don't have any tape. He goes, oh, they'll be getting it in a few hours. I mean, you start adding all this together, it stinks to high heaven.
It sure does.
Dave, any comments?
No, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let Dave go on. He's got other things he has to do right now. Go ahead, Dave. Did you want to say something?
I just wanted to point out that there have been some negative comments that were emailed to us, and it's so important for folks to understand that for those that find this information distasteful, the first knee-jerk reaction they have is say, oh, well, you must be some liberal Democrat, you know, Clintonista type. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. When Clinton was in office, we were just as tough on him with his sale of secrets to China, with MENA, Arkansas, all the other scandals that rocked his particular administration. It has nothing to do with Democrat versus Republican or left versus right,
yeah,
or any of that type of stuff. Folks have got to think outside of the box.
They do, because we know that Bush and Clinton, Bush Sr. and Clinton, met many times. We know they're business partners. I mean, Bush Sr. was CIA director, and if people can't understand this cloak and dagger double agent business and how this is all just theater, they've got a serious problem. I mean, I saw a report last week out of the Associated Press where the government told the people that were going to be hosting the Grammys not to criticize the war. I mean, that's how bad it's gotten. And Joyce, you told me on the phone yesterday that you talked to someone at one of the major news broadcast networks that she was saying that she cried over hearing you Friday on Coast to Coast, that they've been told you are not allowed to criticize any of the actions of this administration.
Well, the statement is, and this came from a major news director, that they cannot criticize the prevailing domestic policy. That's what they've been told. And in fact, the only persons that we know that are doing that right now are Moyers on PBS and Amy Goodman on Democracy Now.
But that's just energizing the left wing so they can contain it and try to control people, continuing that paradigm. This is very important, though, because we have the Associated Press articles and other news. It's in my two new films. It came out last week with the Grammys, where they sent Mr. Card to the meeting with the top 10 CEOs of Hollywood and broadcast television, the sitcoms and dramas and news, and they said no more criticism of the government. So her claim is already on the record. Folks, this is huge that we're having. Joyce, I heard you last week say that you've heard the so-called conservative neocons all saying the same words in the same order. I know there's talking points. And now I've heard another national host say anyone that criticizes the government should be put in a forced labor camp. This is bone-chilling.
Yes, it is. It is. And this story, if we can get it out, if we can force the mainstream media to have to investigate this, then I think we're going to be a whole lot closer to holding this war off. And I think that it is in a rain delay right now. Bill Hemmer from CNN was brought home from Kuwait, so that tells you right there the war's not about ready to start, or Bill would have been there. So I think we need to take advantage of this time. It is working. People are now losing interest in this war, seeing through it, and it's time more than ever that people act. And we
the
want
problem
to...
is, Joyce, the globalists are going to engage in more terrorist attacks in the Western Hemisphere to then say, see, we told you so, we were right. If we don't expose that they're the ones blowing up the oil fields and they're the ones bombing the World Trade Center the first time, which is admitted fact, and involved in September 11th of 2001, if we don't expose their involvement bringing the thousands of Iraqis in who were involved in the Oklahoma City bombing, admitted fact, if we don't do that so people have an epiphany nationwide that, hey, the intelligence agencies are carrying out Operation Northwoods to a T, they're going to keep carrying out attacks and posing as our saviors.
That's right. And I do want to hear from any of your listeners at thepowerhour.com. Email us if you can disprove the story that we gave. And I'm interested in your comments from your listeners. Most of the military people have told me, yeah, you're right. Most of the citizens who really don't know what's going on are the ones that are saying, you know, why don't you just go live with Jane Fonda? You know, that's their attitude.
Well, I don't think you're going to get that on this show or on your show because you've educated folks. But I know we got a lot of callers here who were holding before you got on, so they may be on another subject. But the toll-free number to join us on air is 1-800-259-9231. I want to go to a lot of calls in the remaining 19 minutes, so let's get through these as quickly as possible. Let's talk to John in Ohio. John, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hello. A lot of things to mention, but I also check as an alternate source Ramsey Clark's IACenter.org website. It gives you a lot of information.
And
about...
he is a socialist, and I've met him, and he is anti-gun, but he's right on this war. Now, go ahead.
Yeah. He's pointed out the use of these radioactive dirty bombs, thousands of them that we dropped on Iraq, causing cancer and leukemia. And,
well, it wasn't dirty bombs. It was munitions fired from Vulcan cannons and Abrams M1A. And
de facto, I'm saying effectively. But what I really wanted to bring up was the lies you're talking about, because about 2 months ago on the Knight Ridder newspapers, it was an article that was mentioned one day, and it was almost as if the censors in the editorial office said, how'd that get out? Don't ever mention it again. But it was huge. What it said was that the Bush administration had been strong-arming and fiercely pressuring its own people within the Pentagon, the CIA, and the diplomatic corps to lie, apparently
that
lie.
That was broken by Capitol Hill Blue, then picked up by Reuters and AP. The headline in Capitol Hill Blue was CIA and FBI officials tell Capitol Hill Blue that Bush is pressuring them to put out fake terror alerts to create hysteria. That was what they were told.
And well, this article said that they had been pressured to lie against Iraq, frame up Iraq for non-existent ties to Al-Qaeda, non-existent weapons, and non-existent aggressive intentions. Now, these kinds of things are quickly dropped almost as if it's an accident. And I think that, you know, what we see in the headlines today, this threat by the United States to the United Nations Security Council members that they'll pay a very heavy price if they don't obey the Fuhrer and go along with this.
Hold on, John. The UN is playing good cop, bad cop. They're creatures of the globalists. There's no left-right fight going on here.
I'm not talking about left or right. I'm just saying that they're nothing but a pawn.
Go ahead and let him go. Thank you for the call. Joyce, any comments to what he said?
No, let's go on.
Okay, let's talk to Linda. Linda, where are you calling us from? Go ahead.
Hey, I'm calling from Virginia. Hey,
welcome.
Joyce Riley.
Hey, Linda. Nice to hear from you.
What a wonderful job you and Dave are doing, Joyce, and that is just an incredible, incredible bit of information that I hope every single person is downloading from your website right now and taking that to various organizations, including the churches, because, you know, we are asleep.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you.
And I just really appreciate you and Dave. And also, Alex, you too, and you had a caller, Jerry, from Ohio. We have a great group in Ohio that are activists that are fighting the judicial system. He needs to get involved from a grassroots point of view.
What's
to
the name of your organization?
Well, I'm Linda Kennedy. I'm a sometime attorney when I'm not being disbarred, and I call it WBS Legal Reform. But it's not just my.
Oh, you were a trafficants lawyer.
Yeah, but we're actually getting people in each state to start fighting together, court watch together. You know, do all that kind of thing together. But I don't want to take time from Joyce and Dave because they're doing an excellent job. But I just wanted to say that he needs to get involved and network with his people in his state, as every state does.
All right. Linda, thank you.
Thank you, Linda,
for the call. I know there's a lot of callers here, and I'm not sure who's calling in on the topic. Mark, who's up next here? Okay, let's just go ahead then and talk to Martin, in Illinois. Martin, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you for your guests. You're all doing a wonderful job. Just to digress a little bit from the subject here, in Illinois, the House has passed a bill which will require all dog owners to have implantable microchips in their dogs now. That was
They did that in L.A. and places.
Okay. Just
also, Joyce, we heard about New Mexico, and I've got the bill. They passed a law where if there's any type of disaster, guns are outlawed, and you can't leave your house or be in other areas to lock down the cities. How does all this this government terrorism tie into the model states on the Emergency Powers Act, Joyce?
Well, it's the missing part of it, and I think all you have to do is look at who their governor is, former ambassador to the United Nations, and he's leading the move to tighten down the weapons on a state-by-state basis. So we have to have, if we're going to forcibly inject people, we're going to have their weapons taken away, or these people are going to respond.
Is it not exciting that 90-plus percent of doctors and medical workers are refusing to take the smallpox shot?
Oh, absolutely, and I think it's going to grow. And that's why they have to take away the weapons. They weren't able to convince people to take this vaccine.
You know, I want to jump in and mention that it was John Kennedy that said, if you make peaceful change impossible, you make violent revolution inevitable. And I think that the powers that be understand those words very well, which is why I think you're going to see an increased push now to take away anybody's ability to defend themselves. Because they are making it impossible for peaceful change. We need look no further than James Collier's, the late James Collier's book, Vote Scan, to see that our ability to vote has been taken away.
And now they're federally funding to put in electronic touchscreens nationwide. Thanks for the call, Martin. Let's talk to Lou in Colorado. You're on the air. Go ahead, Lou.
Hey, it's a very interesting program you've got, and I definitely believe that there is a lot more going on than what people normally would.
Yeah. Well, we've proven they carried out 911 and the other attacks, and I believe the evidence is clear that they carried out the oil well fires.
I think one book that people ought to read, I don't even know if you ever heard of it, it's called Major Jordan's Diaries.
No, I haven't heard of
it. Oh, it is an excellent book. It is Major Jordan, who was in the service during the Second World War, was head of all supplies leaving Montana. And when you read that book, there's no American person out there. It's heavily documented. How it gave so much to Russia. Harry Hopkins, who was a big guy of the lend lease, allowed.
Yeah, arming our enemies. That's going on with North Korea with money, oil, and nuclear components.
And this would definitely lend credibility once they read this to anything else that has been going on.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Len.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, thanks for the call. You know, it's important to understand in this equation, it's not our opinion, but there's a U.S. government plan to carry out murders and killings and sabotage. That is on the record. Joyce, how important is Northwoods to convincing people of the reality of what you're reporting?
Well, I think it's so good that you put that information on your website, and we have sent a lot of people to that website, because to understand what's happening, you have to understand the fraud. To understand the fraud, you have to see the documentation, and there it is. It's right there in plain day. We know that they have needed to create this kind of agenda, if you will, or propaganda. In fact, in a book called Second Front, John MacArthur also talks about how Hillel Knowlton was asked to, you know, just to stir this fire and make people basically against Iraq. I mean, that was what they were, the job they were given. And so, you know, all we have to do is look back and see the history.
Well, Joyce, there was a story last year where the Pentagon admitted, Rumsfeld admitted, that they were going to plant fake news stories in the news. The New York Times even reported on this, and then that story just disappeared.
That's right. It disappeared. You can't find it.
Yeah, yeah. Here they are admitting that they put out fake news reports. Let's go ahead and talk to Greg in California. Greg, you're on the air with Captain Joyce Riley. Go ahead.
Hello, how are you?
Fine, Greg.
You hear me okay?
I hear you fine.
Great. Joyce, a couple weeks ago I listened to your show, and a guy named Eugene called in, said he was a Delta Force or something like that, and said there were nukes buried in the sand and so on. Have you had any more communications with him?
I've had communication with him, but at this point, I don't feel comfortable enough to go forward with it.
Yeah, I don't. I'm familiar with that, and I won't touch it. We know this, though. The globalists are creating in the media, through Hollywood and television, the image that we will be hit by nukes.
Yeah.
And now we have the new reports confirming that Al-Qaeda is being protected by our government and was flown out to safety when Kandahar fell. A key piece of evidence, and is run by ISI, which is run by the CIA. And
yeah,
we're not talking about that report either.
Yeah, I see the whole process as a very sophisticated diversionary tactic.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is.
Well, it's simple. You want to take over regions of the world, you blow stuff up and blame it on somebody. And then you even have hired terrorists that take the blame but are never caught. You notice, Joyce, we're not hearing about trying to get bin Laden now. He's just off the radar screen.
That's right. It's Osama who? I mean, it's not even part of the news. And it's as if it, we just move on past these things and everybody is taught to accept that. You know, one thing I wanted to mention is that when you were mentioning Rumsfeld, back in 1983 when Rumsfeld went to Iraq to meet with Saddam Hussein, we thought he was there for just one meeting. We were told that it was a meeting in which he was an envoy, a private envoy from the Reagan administration. What I did not know at the time is that he took a six-month leave from a pharmaceutical company, G.D. Searle Pharmaceutical Company. Not only did he go to Iraq, but he met with all the key leaders of all the Middle Eastern nations friendly to the United States.
He also was on the board of the company giving the nuke material to North Korea.
That's right.
And that's all on InfoWars.com right now. Joyce will be with us for the final segment of this hour. Then I have another guest coming up and more of your calls and a bunch of the news we haven't gotten to yet. Stay with us. InfoWars.com, InfoWars.net, PrisonPlanet.com, and now ThePowerHour.com.
Are you? Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk Archives. And we are listener supported with the honor system. We ask that you wait. Don't donate a dollar at a time. PayPal charges a 35-cent surcharge on anything of a dollar or less. Wait till you listen to 5 or 10 and then donate, please. We appreciate your voluntary support.
Accelerating towards the third hour, and by the way, in the next 20 minutes or so, my webmaster will repost the articles, because we did find them, from the New York Times, from a bunch of other publications, from early last year, when the Pentagon said, oh, we're going to plant false news stories to legitimize war, actually said that, admitting that they're lying to us and throwing it in our face. You know, Joyce, that's a big deal. And when you look at all the confirmed cases of government-sponsored terrorism, that lends a lot of credibility to your five witnesses, doesn't it? Does that lend a lot of credibility to it, Joyce?
Absolutely. Absolutely it does. And I think that we're talking about the issue of the government having the right to lie to us also. I mean, they're telling us all these things. So, it's you know, what are we having to question here? There's nothing really to question, unfortunately.
What's the next phase of your investigation?
Well, we're wanting more people to come forward. So we're hoping that the idea that there is more safety with numbers, that those that have information will come forward. We're getting a lot of people coming forward that have other stories they want to talk about. But you mentioned one gentleman who contacted us and said that during the time of the oil well fires, he saw himself in a picture of the cleanup that was allegedly in Iraq cleaning up the oil well fire mess. But he said, I've never been to Iraq. He said, I was involved in the cleanup of the Valdez in Alaska, and he said they were using file footage from the Valdez on the major news network show.
So this shows how incredibly staged all this is. Let's take one more call for you, Joyce. Bill in Alaska, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I've got, you know, we're up here kind of removed from things, and I just got a question about the administration. We're not in support of any democracies over there. Why, you know, if you're not a thief, George W., you ought to make an offer to purchase that country because it costs less in the long run.
Good point.
Is that true? I mean,
they say it's going to cost $1.7 trillion plus for the five-year occupation of Iraq.
Right.
Yeah, but you won't be able to eliminate as many people, though, if you just buy it.
Or the weapons sales. See, there's also the weapons sales on top of all that. The Carlyle Group, the biggest defense broker now from number 10 to number 1 the last year and a half, owned by the bin Ladens and the Bushes. Joyce, you couldn't write a science fiction book this bizarre. No one would believe it.
You know, they've got people working 24 hours a day just thinking these things up and creating these. And I want to thank you. Unfortunately, I've got to run, but I thank you so much, Alex, for what you're doing on 911 and the job you're doing on this program. We're proud to have you on Genesis. And also, anybody out there that has any information regarding the oil well fires, let me give a phone number. Now, this is for oil well fire information. 877-485-3838. That's 877-GULF-VET. If you have any information regarding the oil well fires, and please get that news release out. And thank you so much, Alex.
Joyce, God bless you. Thank you for the call, Bill. We're out of time at this hour, and yes, send any information about the oil well fires to Dave and Joyce, or you can shoot it over to me, and I'll get it over to them because they broke this story, and I believe it. It fits the M.O. They've got a lot of evidence. Dave and Joyce were right about the Gulf War illness, and then I guarantee you they're right about this. Third hour coming up, a bunch of news we haven't even got.